all of the fact checks on that. If you're saying that, you know, the White House, the president doesn't want to, you know, insult the American people, will the administration then amend its separate statement that implied that Texas officials were responsible for the deaths of three migrants when, in fact, they had nothing to do with it? They had already been dead for an hour by the time Mexico told anyone in the U.S. about it. And the administration admitted as much in their court filing. They acknowledged that in their court filing, but the statement from the White House implies that Texas was responsible, and a number of outlets were forced to issue corrections and editor's notes because of that White House statement. So will the White House amend that statement?
So let's be sensitive here. Three people died. Three migrants died. Two children and a woman. That was devastating. Devastating situation, heartbreaking situation. So let's be really mindful of what we're talking about here. I want to take a step back just as you're talking about our statement, look, as I mentioned, a woman and two children died. They drowned near Eagle Pass, which is, as I said, devastating, and that Texas officials blocked Border Patrol from accessing the area. That's what was happening.
They didn't do that.
Our statement is consistent with DOJ's filing.
That's not even what they filed.
DOJ filing said there was an ongoing emergency situation that Border Patrol was blocked from accessing. There were other migrants in the water as well. But I'm just saying there was an ongoing.
The White House statement implies, it says, the White House statement says that Texas officials blocked U.S. Border Patrol from attempting to provide emergency assistance.
There were other migrants in the water.
Then why
as
wasn't
well.
That included in the
there
statement?
There were other migrants in the water.
That's what you were referring to.
Our statement is very much consistent with DOJ filing. Anything else specific you want to know about that, I would certainly refer you to DOJ.
Yeah, you know what? The DOJ also said that didn't happen. I mean, I literally was reading to you yesterday from what they actually had said. Everything, the timeline as it played out, what ended up happening is that they realized that it didn't matter. In fact, it came from their own statement that there is nothing that Border Patrol would have done, nothing they would have done that would have changed the outcome of this. Nothing. Welcome back to the program. It's Thursday now, although it feels like Monday part two. It's nuts. So it's good to be with you. Dana Loesch here. And of course, we've got a lot to get to. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the radio program, and you can watch the simulcast of the radio program, which is the video component of it. This story and their outright line about it, I don't know if there is a story that angers me more, because she went up and completely contradicted once again, actually, everything that happened in the state of facts. I mean, that's something else. That is something else. In the meantime, all of the fighting, including over the buoys and everything else, is still taking place down at the southern border. But this whole thing with immigration and the ongoing fight over CR, and then this instant, they're desperately trying to use this as some sort of leverage against Republicans with this CR fight, because they, I think, feel like this will manipulate Republicans into accepting what's been proposed in the Senate. Do they think that's going to work? I mean, that's a horrible tactic. I mean, we all read, I'm like pulling up all my stuff on this. We've all read everything that came from Border Patrol. We read all this, and I went over it with you yesterday. They outright lied. They outright lied about it, and they're still pushing it, because they have to. But one of the things that Border Patrol said is that they ultimately ended up having to come back and say, well, it didn't really have anything to do with us, because this was already happening. And even before we notified them, this, you know, and it was on the Mexican side of things, and the Mexican authorities were already dealing with it. So that's a real thing that's happened. We're going to come back to this, because I have some other we got to talk about, I know we got the 2024 stuff, and I'm going to come back to that, but we got to talk about some of the stuff right now that's happening in DC. They're going to have the vote on the CR today. That's that continuing resolution that they're going to have. It's the stopgap bill that they're trying to avert another government shutdown. Remember the last time this took place? When was this? This was right before Christmas, right? Yeah, it was right before Christmas. And we knew that this was going to come up again. And it's going to continue coming up. They're just going to be kicking this can down the road all the way, probably till November, right? That's going to put them in a very weird spot. There are some House Republicans that want some serious spending cuts. And there are other House Republicans that do not want serious spending cuts. In fact, some of the other House Republicans just kind of want to move on to get on. And I feel like they're too nervous for their own good about the upcoming November elections and their own status and maybe perhaps purple districts. And so they're capitulating on this stuff. And this is tough. So they're fighting it out right now. And I feel like there's going to be a compromise that no one's going to like. I feel like it's going to be a compromise that we are all going to hate, this CR vote. And we're going to keep you updated because they're taking a vote. They're voting on it today. And so I'm pulling up some there where they're voting on this today. They said that they're trying to divide up some of the money for these bills. They are looking at all kinds of cuts. They also wanted some like a freeze in some of these other big government loans, all this other stuff. And but this is it's a third stopgap. So it's a CR, continuing resolution. And all it does is just extend the last year's spending limit. And by the way, this is what they were fighting over when you had the McCarthy Gates thing, right? And then it ultimately ended up passing and you literally just continued what they had before. It was the dumbest damn thing I've ever seen. But now they're literally going to continue extending the last fiscal year's spending levels. And they have March 1st deadline and a March 8th deadline for spending at various agencies. So I got a couple of other deadlines coming up. So they're looking to vote on that today. In the meantime, while this has been happening, this came out from House Oversight. They said that it is pretty troubling. The feds were asking banks, and by the way, this should not be new to anyone who's ever, you know, tried to do business as a gun store or even a pawn shop, because we've seen this sort of fiscal activism already extend to those types of businesses. Now we told you it was going to be hitting everything. The alarming surveillance on this, the feds had asked the banks to search private transactions for all kinds of terms, Bass Pro, Bible, certain, you know, political affiliations. Like they were asking for these transactions with these kind of keywords. Cabela's came up as a keyword. That's kind of crazy. Religious texts could signify extremism. There's a million. This reminds me of back when they were looking at Tea Party and apparently Ron Paul was literally a name that DHS had flagged, like that could signal some sort of domestic extremism or something like that. And then, of course, they watch firearms purchases, too. Here's the question that I have for this, because I'm glad that they're finding this out. And I'm glad that they are. I mean, even Zelle payments, MAGA, all of this stuff. That's all kind of weird. But I'm happy that they're finding this out now, right? I'm happy that they're kind of learning the scope of it. But also at the same time, I'm like, how in the hell are they just now learning the scope of this? Because this kicked off before Biden assumed office in January of 2021. You heard me correctly. And I don't understand that. I don't understand how they're only, I mean, this is House Oversight. And granted, Jim Jordan wasn't there at the time. I understand that. So we were without Jim Jordan's, you know, eyes on all of this stuff. But this is apparently something that began before Joe Biden entered the White House. And then Democrats just were super excited, took it, exploited the ever-loving hell out of it. And now you see what you see. I mean, I've got a million questions, and we're going to talk about all of this, too, because this is the other thing that they're trying to get to the bottom of right now. And to keyword, I mean, this is also similar to what the FBI was kind of tagging parents as. I mean, Catholics were tagged, parents were tagged, and this is all, I mean, this is some Patriot Act stuff, honestly. This is some serious Patriot Act level surveillance. But this is something that did kick. It's been apparently, out there for a while. So I just got a lot of questions on this because I why are they just now finding out about it? Why is this something that they're just now finding out about? I mean, if it's been around that long, and I was doing some digging, I mean, if it's been around that long, then why is it just now that they're, okay. So that's the other thing we're looking at. We're also looking at, because you have, oh gosh, I've got a million things. There's so many. I feel like because we're rolling towards November, Democrats are trying to shove through as much stuff as possible because we got the Ukraine funding too that they're trying to increase. I mean, this just gets worse and worse. I know. I'm going to have some silly stuff to alleviate some of this for you. But we're going to get into all of that. We're also going to get into, like, for instance, this is the other thing. Pentagon's installing solar panels on the rooftop because Biden's clean energy push is apparently extending to that too. I got a question. Kane, have you flown? You've flown into DC before. Mm-hmm. Now I get it that there's like different paths that planes take when they are entering DC and landing, particularly if you're going to Reagan International. I mean, I've flown over the Pentagon, I don't know how many times. Do you think that putting a ton of solar panels on the rooftop of the Pentagon, do you think that that's like going to flare and like cause a problem for the planes that are? I mean, I'm seriously asking. That was the thought that I had, and I don't know if it's enough to actually do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about it to say one way or the other for sure. I mean, I guess there's a potential for problems because, you know, if they're relying on sunlight and sunlight sometimes is blocked by clouds or sometimes it's night.
Because we know DC is always sunny.
Right. So they'll have to have a big, giant battery banks like your cars have, which we know, you know, they burn pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, you know, just wondered. We're going to get into all of that. We're also going to talk about some of the latest of 2024, immigration, self-defense, the Daniel Penny story. I have a case of a tale of two cases that are pretty much exactly the same. One's a little bit more extreme than the other in terms of self-defense. One guy is getting charged, Daniel Penny. The other guy isn't. He's walking free. We're going to talk about this. We're going to get into that. We got Quick Five. We got all kinds of stuff. Florida Man, Today's Stupidity. Congressman Thomas Massey is going to join us later on as well.
You know, when you search for something on Netflix, what you get is only a fraction of what Netflix actually has. Netflix actually has more than something like 18,000 titles globally, but only 6,000 of those are available in the United States. So you're missing out on literally thousands of movies or television shows, anything episodic, unless you use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think that you're located. They have over 100 different locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new programs no matter where you live. Now, this works with a lot of other streaming services too, like Max, BBC iPlayer, Hulu, things like that. So this is something that you should definitely consider. I mean, think about what would you like to watch that maybe you can't access. I mean, there's some British shows that I would like to watch. There's, you know, some anime, there's some movies, all kinds of stuff. And also, I want to kind of hide where I am too, just because I'm always internally suspicious. So this is what ExpressVPN can come in clutch for. Also, it's super fast. I can stream everything in HD with no buffering. Works on any device. I can enjoy whatever I'm watching from my phone, laptop, tablet, TV, you name it. It just works. And ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security to keep you safe from hackers that want to take your info and sell it on the dark web. So stop missing out on great programming and get thousands of new shows with ExpressVPN. And we got them to give you guys an extra 3 months free when you use our special link, ExpressVPN.com/Dana. That's ExpressVPN.com/Dana to get 3 extra months completely free.
After taking a longer holiday break than you, Congress had to go back to work. And what did they do? Pass yet another stopgap spending bill to kick the can down the road until March. You keep paying taxes? They continue to not fund the border. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Woo-hoo. All right. So I love this because, well, my friend Iowa Hawk said that Canada, the problem that solves itself. This was his joke. It is sad, though. 4.1% of all deaths were medically assisted in Canada in 2022. 13,241 Canadians were euthanized. Like pets. A growth rate of 31.2% since 2021. That's kind of crazy. Like, California also allows it, but they are way less than Canada. I'm fascinated as to why that is. I don't know. Maybe it's like the weather that's saving them a little bit more in California. I don't know what it is. But that's kind of crazy. Apple is now banned from selling smartwatches with blood oxygen sensors in them. Like, today, right? Officially starts today. They said that they stole medical tech. So this came out yesterday, so I'm assuming it's today. A federal court rejected the request to pause the Apple Watch ban, and they said they're prohibited from selling models with the blood oxygen feature. Well, I'm glad that I got mine, because I got the blood oxygen feature. They said an email from an engineer may have actually sparked the ban. They said that apparently it was stolen tech is the claim. So they're going to have to litigate this. It's going to take forever. I don't even know what this is going to, I don't even know what it's going to mean, because you know how long this stuff goes. It's crazy. But now here's what's interesting. The legal proceedings don't affect the sale of these types of Apple Watches worldwide. It's only in the U.S. And that accounted for 42% of all of its overall revenue from North America last year. One in three Apple Watches sold worldwide are sold in the United States. You can probably get like a European one in them, maybe, you know. I don't know if that breaks the law or not. And if it does, I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't tell you to do that. That was Juan and Kane. That's, yeah. I don't know if I think that this is refreshing, and I don't even know how to take it. Somebody was nice in politics, and it's weird to me because I'm so used to everyone being buttholes. The White House chief of staff called Asha Hutchinson to apologize for a snarky DNC statement about his campaign suspension. So Jeff Zients, who's Joe Biden's White House chief of staff, called Hutchinson to apologize for a statement that the DNC had made mocking Hutchinson's 2024 campaign, because Hutchinson came in last in Iowa and he suspended his campaign, and the DNC issued a statement saying, oh, well, we thought he already dropped out a long ago. In fact, Serafina Chitika, or whatever the hell her name is, said that the news comes as a shock to those of us who could have sworn he'd already dropped out. And KJP kind of, she confirmed it. She was asked about this by a member of the press. So I guess that's like a rare thing to see. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, I like it, but are they scamming us? And then I feel like an abused animal out in the wilderness. Like, you know, come on and here's some food, little animal, and you don't want to get hit, so you don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I just want to flinch. I don't know. I'm in a flinching mood. Let's see here. Container lines are scrambling to rent more ships amid that ongoing Red Sea crisis because you have all these diversions. So that means container lines need more ships to carry the same amount of cargo. And this is even more precarious because now you got the coalition strikes in Yemen. Oh, sorry. According to the trans militant activists, women. So their freight rates are higher. Shipping's going to cost more. Stay tuned. We're all going to need this. Just stock up on Wise Foods, because who knows what's going to happen after November. Honestly, you know what? I'm just going to sit fat and sassy in my shelter and eat all my Wise Foods. They got macaroni and they got teriyaki everything and all kinds of stuff. 72-hour food kit right now. Buy one, get $100 value for $50. Two boxes, 12 pouches of delicious premium survival food. You get all kinds of entrees, breakfast, drinks, 11,120 total calories per kit. Everything made with the highest quality U.S. ingredients and freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. They also have their heirloom seed vault, it contains 39 variety of seeds. And the seeds are non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties. Each kit has more than 4,500 seeds, 10-year shelf life. Order yours today. Be prepared at wisefoodstorage.com. So what you do is when you go there, type Dana in the search bar up above, and you'll access these exclusive deals like the buy one, get one on the 72-hour food kit. Wisefoodstorage.com. Put Dana in the search bar.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
The president, I looked right across the table from him in the cabinet official's room, and I said, Mr. President, you have the authority right now in this catastrophe. It's your actions that created it. In fact, Mr. President, I told him in the meeting today, we've documented 64 instances of you taking executive actions in your agencies that created this catastrophe. Mr. President, it's on you to unwind it.
So that's the speaker, Mike Johnson, who's saying, well, you know, your policies did create, because they did create all of this at the border, even though he wants to act like they are not. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lashier with you, bottom of this first hour. And we're going through everything that's, they're having the vote on the CR today. We got all this other stuff with House Oversight. Coming up later on, we have Congressman Thomas Massey, who's going to be joining us as well. And we're also going to get into some of the 2024 stuff, just to keep you apprised of everything that is happening. And I got to pull this up because, and I didn't have this on my list to immediately jump into, but it made me mad. It may not for the reasons that you maybe think, because you guys know how I feel about cruise ships. So I saw this tweet from the schmuck. Where's this at? And they put this up and they tweeted, late stage capitalism is so absurdly comical at times. And they have a video. It's accompanied by a video of this new cruise ship. What is it? Icon of the Seas is what it's called. And they, I guess they're complaining. They go, it has 23 restaurants, 22 bars and clubs, 7 full-size pools, 9 hot tubs, a full water park, rock climbing wall, ice skating rink, surf simulator. I read that a Smurf simulator for the first time and I like was intrigued. Golf course, basketball court, rooms for 7,600 people. Are they making fun of cruise ships? Like, I don't like cruises because A, I get seasick, and B, I get claustrophobic. And then C, I just don't like being on vessels for endless amounts of time that I can't get off of. You know what I mean? Like, planes push it for me. I just have a thing. I don't know. It's a weird thing that I've always had. If I'm on a flight anything more than 3 hours, I got to get up and walk around. I just get super antsy, and it drives my husband insane. God love him. That's the whole... Otherwise, I don't have a problem with cruise ships. Also, sometimes, I mean, don't they have like an captain? And that one guy got drunk and like sank the ship. So I get a little nervous, right? But I mean, basically, it's like it's like a floating Chuck E. Cheese just for adults. I don't know what else to say. What's the other one that's like Chuck E. Cheese, but they pretend they're not because it's more adult catered? It's two dudes' names. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Charlie and Harry. I don't know. Oh, I can't remember. Dave and Buster's.
Charlie and Harry.
I couldn't remember it for the life of me.
You're close.
I was trying to remember what it was called. But what the hell is late stage capitalism? You know what that word is? That's what stupid, bratty trust fund socialists say when they notice that their plumber gets to go and do fun stuff. They call it late stage capitalism. No, that's like capitalism, you dumb, snotty brat. That's what it is.
I think they're trying to make it sound like it's a cancer, like you're in late stages. It's capitalism, but it's a cancer.
Have you seen this ship? This is crazy. This ship is crazy mad. I don't even know how it stays afloat. Don't email me. I literally will have people that will, like scientists out there that will email me how this works. I mean, all I know is at the front of it, there's like this glass geodesic dome in the front, and I'm intrigued.
There's like 5 levels above deck.
I don't even know what some of this stuff is on there.
It's like water slides and Ferris wheels.
It looks like a boat that has been bedazzled like a lot. You know what I mean? It looks like Barbie's dream boat. I don't even know, man. There's so much stuff happening on this ship. Why are they making fun of it? Honestly, if I could stay on something and go to a bunch of different places instead of just flying to one place, I like to stay busy. So I kind of like the appeal of that. I just cannot stay with a bunch of people on a thing. I can't. I just get real weird. I mean, I can barely do a plane. And if we go on road trips, Dana drives. That's like the known rule in my house. My family makes so much fun of me. I had my aunts, they were like, because they were very old fashioned. And my aunts are like, oh, well, the man drives. And they're like, well, there she is driving. Like her whole family, I got a car full of dudes and I'm driving, you know, God help them all. I have to do something. So I have to, you know, I'm not content with, with being in charge of snacks and music. Although I will do that too. But anyway, long story short, that's the only thing I get angsty about. What is there to complain about this? They're mad because it has 23 restaurants. There's 23 restaurants on this boat. That's like some serious, they fit 23 restaurants on this thing and it floats. That's science. The noodles, that's the noodle thing that you're seeing on the simulcast. That's all the water stuff. The water park. They got a water park. You know what? We are so spoiled. You're on a boat in the water and you can get into a vessel of water in the boat that's in the water. Right. You can get in a tube and fling yourself down to God knows what on a boat in the water. You know what I'm saying? Like that? We are spoiled brats. And I got this. I know it's a snotty trust fund socialist, right? You know it is. And they're sitting here complaining. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that regular people can go and do fun things. If it has like the appearance of even looking fancy, social trust fund, socialist trust fund leftist get ticked off. Oh my gosh, the poors aren't supposed to be able to do anything. And then they think it's only like poor people that do cruises. Let me tell you something. I got to tell you about my weird uncle. He's weird. God love him. He was one of the most cantankerous people I've ever met. And I think one of the only kids that he ever got along with was my youngest son, who is an old man in a young person's body. It's weird. And he would do these weird vacations, right? And he liked to go on cruise ships because he liked to people watch. And he was, you know, he worked really hard. He was one of those guys who was loaded, but you never knew it because he just didn't flash it and he just didn't care. He just, you know, he earned money and he's like, whatever. He liked to go take pictures of covered bridges. That was the thing. And he literally was part of a club and he did weird vacations. Like he used to get, I don't even know how you do this. He was in the Navy for a long time. I don't even know how you do this, but he was able to get on like merchant vessels and go to these weird ports of call and just like wander around these totally non-touristy places all over the world. He also stole, I don't know if I should say this. Well, maybe I heard, let's just put it like that, so I can give myself some plausible deniability. He took the town in Southern Missouri where my family's from. He took the town's sign, like welcome to the city of, you know, whatever. He took that and took it up to the North Pole. And I guess that's a thing where you stick it in the ice up there. He did that. He stole it. And it was like the talk of the town for 5 years because there's 300 people there. It's all they ever. You remember when our sign was stolen? Mm-hmm. I wonder who did it. And they all look at my uncle. But he loved it because he liked to people watch and he liked amenities. That was the thing. Right. And I love the idea. And he probably was more loaded than these snotty brats that are complaining about this. Money does not buy you class and it doesn't buy you wit, clearly. But I mean, you got a rock climbing wall on a boat in the ocean. You're on a boat in the ocean and you can rock climb. God bless America. You have 7 pools, 9 hot tubs and a full water park. Why are they not paying us right now? Right. Golly, on a boat in the ocean. Now you might be wondering, Dana, is that enough to tell? No, because I still got to be, unless you let me drive the boat, I'm probably not going to be cool with it. Because I've got to, it's weird. I'm on a boat with a bunch and I can't get off. Like if I know that I can't get off, suddenly I want off. You know what I mean? Like when the lockdown happened and they were like, make sure you wash your hands. Suddenly I wanted to lick doorknobs and do all of the things that they told me not to do. Right. I like staying in my hobbit hole. And then when they told me that I couldn't go anywhere, I wanted to leave all the time. I don't know what it is. It's just a thing. But late stage capitalism, they try to make everyday accessibility for everybody like a bad thing. I saw that and it just ticked me off. It's so bratty. It's so bratty and it's so like snotty. I can't, I don't know. Late stage capitalism is not having a job and being in debt because you literally paid 6 figures for a humanities degree. That is late stage capitalism. Okay, late stage capitalism is going into debt for a stupid, worthless degree in women's studies. That's late stage capitalism. Shut up. So bratty. I can't stand these people. Some of y'all didn't beat your children enough when they were younger, and it shows. Just got to say. All right, so this, a couple of other things here that we're going to get into. I told you we got the CR vote. I wanted to touch on this situation of defense as it pertains to Marine veteran Daniel Penny. Now, you remember him. He's the guy who, and a lot of other stuff has come forward from these witnesses that were there on the subway platform when all this went down. He's the guy who ended up, he put it, this other dude who was being very dangerous, Jordan Neely, in a chokehold in this New York City subway last year, right? Everybody remembers this. There was some video and photos of it, and there was one witness that had come forward who had said, yeah, this Jordan Neely was dangerous and he was lunging at everyone while saying he was going to kill us. And it came out later that there was a whole thread on Reddit warning people about this guy. They were like, oh, he used to be a Michael Jackson impersonator, but the last several years he's gotten really, really dangerous and, you know, lunging towards people and acting like he's going to hurt them. And he punched a woman in the face and like broke her nose and all this stuff. Like he's already had like a violent record. And so, you know, he was pretty well known. I mean, to the fact that they had literally had a subreddit on him, you know, a thread on Reddit about this. And So Daniel Penny was on the subway, if you remember, and then this Jordan Neely guy started threatening other passengers, lunging at them, saying he was going to kill them and all this other stuff. And it got to the point where Neely became, not just to Penny, but these other witnesses, he looked like an actual clear and present danger. I mean, he was an actual threat. And that's when Daniel Penny acted. And what he ended up doing is he kind of wrestled with Neely, put him in a chokehold, and held them. And then Neely ultimately died. And they were looking to see if, you know, he had died from the chokehold, etc. There were other witnesses there, too, who were helping to hold him down. Now, others are coming forward corroborating what that first witness said. And this has been going on in the depositions. They're like, yeah, he was lunging at people, acting like he was going to hit random people, saying he was going to, telling other passengers that he was going to kill them as he was getting closer and lunging towards them. So they, with Penny's case, and I mean, this is a case about self-defense. The judge denied a motion by Penny's attorneys to dismiss the case. And then the decision came in court this week and the judge ordered Penny back to court in late March. Now his trial is expected to start this fall. And he's pled not guilty. They're charging him with second degree manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. And the way that they say it, it was in the death of Jordan Neely, a former Michael Jackson impersonator who was shouting and begging for money on the train. No, he was doing a hell of a lot more than that. And he hadn't been a Michael Jackson impersonator for years. He was threatening people. And this was, what, 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks after he punched an old woman in the face, like an elderly woman. He hit her in the face and broke her nose. Imagine if that was like your grandmother or your wife or, you know, your aunt or whatever. Can you imagine? Or your mother. Punched her in the face. And he also assaulted another woman. So he had like an actual record of danger. And the fact that it's like this is, I think, is insane. And then the family, and remember his family, who had never said, they never stepped in to help him. They're like, oh, it's so mean that this Daniel Penny guy killed him, etc. Well, where were you all when he was, you know, out there begging for bread? Where were you guys at? Because now the only time that they showed up, apparently, is when they thought they could get some money out of a court case. And you know that's true. That's absolutely true. But this case is interesting, and I want to explore this more coming up, because there's another case of self-defense where a guy had to take on a violent homeless man and he ended up stabbing the homeless man. And this guy was able to leave scot-free. It's wild. And I'm wondering why. So we're going to talk about that and more here coming up.
Hi, I'm Adriana, a politics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders recognized an obvious fact of life. Human beings differ in terms of physical attributes and talents. Because of this, some people will be better at some things than they are at others. But they also recognized that the tall and the short among us, the swift and the slow among us, are still human beings if we are recognizable as human beings. And therefore, we are equal in terms of the rights that pertain to human beings, rights attached to human nature. Rights that come from God. The Declaration of Independence names three of the big ones: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Exercising these rights is necessary if we are to be truly free. In our own time, many influential people believe that only government can decide what our rights should be. This is dangerous. Understanding our rights and how the Constitution protects them is vital to our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Here, it's been great.
Are you Canadian?
Of course I am.
Are you part of the f***ing opposition? Are you?
I don't know how to phrase that.
You got like f***ing...
Well, I did want to ask
you... Did you vote for Trudeau?
You know, I'm not gonna say.
And let me tell you something right now. If a man says he's not gonna say, like, if you ask him, "Motherfucker, did you vote for Biden?" He's like, "Well, I'm not gonna say. That's none of your business. He voted for fucking Biden."
This is a press conference.
John, I'm glad you had great experience.
So this is what I'm talking about, you guys. The enemy of Canada.
Sure. All right. That's what it's got to be. It's got to be. We've got a pretty supportive gay and lesbian community in this city. I did want to ask you about something you wrote a couple of years ago. USA. You said if I had a gay son, I would think I'd.
Oh, look, another. I'm saying the swamp, you guys. The swamp.
You become a champion. You become a star. and some would say.
Let me ask you something. Are you gay?
I had the chance to come back with a more diverse.
Are you? Let me. Are you gay?
Can I get an answer?
Well, I'm asking. This is a part of. Are you a gay man?
I'm an ally of the community.
Okay. If you had a son, then he was like, "Yes, son, he was gay." Oh man, you want a grandkid?
No problem with it.
Oh man, well, dude, you're a weak fucking man, dude. You're like, you're probably the fucking problem. You elected Justin Trudeau. Like, when he sees the bank accounts, like, you're just fucking pathetic. And the fact that you have no fucking backbone, and has he shut down your fucking country and seized bank accounts, you ask me some stupid shit like that, go fuck yourself. Move the fuck on, man.
Oh my gosh, Sean Strickland is... That was a press conference for the UFC, and that reporter just played the question and answer version of FAFO. That's what happened. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. What does that mean to be an ally? I asked that during the, when people are like, oh, I'm an ally of the community. Like, do you help lift it up? Like, I don't understand what you do. What does that mean? Do you help them get it on? Like, how does that, how are you an ally? Do you help them? Do you like go and, what do you do? Do you, what does that mean? How are you allied?
Helping.
I'm just an ally of the community. It's, you know, allied forces, you know, of gayness. I don't know. What does that mean? Like the language. You know, like all he had to do was say no, but you know, I don't got a problem with it. I'm just, you know, and then that's all he had to do. But then he used that goofy language. I don't even know. I gotta be honest. There are a lot of conservative gays? A lot of conservative gay folks out there that don't even like that language. They're like, what does that mean? How are you an ally? Like, are you taking credit? Like, what are you... Doesn't make any sense. I can't stand it. It's all clownery. Gosh, dang it. We're going to have to get sponsored by Brondo at some point. All right, so coming up, I am Sean Strickland right now mentally. I'm just done. So coming up, we got some 2024 stuff to get into. The Karens edition. Can we just... God, put a hand over my mouth. Coming up, stay with us. Friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there upholding Christian principles, conservative principles, and also providing you with good phone service, good coverage. They have... dependable nationwide coverage in all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without funding the left. And you get free activation using code Dana. We've been with them from the very beginning. This is my actual cell phone service that I use. When you work with them, when you give them a call and switch, you're talking to a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. You can keep your phone, keep your number. You can upgrade. The choice is entirely yours, but just trust that you're going to save money and you're not going to be funding the things that you vote against every time you go to the ballot box. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
To my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, let's be honest with immigrants who deserve better than what you're offering them. Don't welcome immigrants if you plan to reject them. If you keep pushing your bigoted HR 2 bill, then also pass this bill. I've taken the liberty of drafting it for you. It removes the Statue of Liberty, our largest symbol that tells people to come here. This is who you are, removing the fabric of America. So I want to know which Republican who supports and voted for HR 2 will introduce this bill.
What? They might as well take down the Statue of Liberty if they're going to demand a secure border. Might as well. I mean, you know, because that's binding law, the inscription that's on the Statue of Liberty, you absolute jackwagon. I mean, this guy is literally a walking participation trophy. He is. Why are you laughing? He is. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. Does he even pay taxes? Like, is he old enough? Is he old enough to even rent a car? He's one of those guys who's like, I'm Gen Z. Like, I'm Gen X. Baby Gen X. I'm Gen X. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to hang on to it all day long. Raising Gen Z. Okay. And I just feel like, because I can't tell you, first off, full stop. Welcome back. Top of the second hour. God love you. Dana Lash here with you. Listen coast to coast. Let's sit together and gossip. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me
and have said, oh, you know, your kids, can they come and work in our organization? Can they? I seriously am not going to say, but this has happened. And me being me, I'm like, no. And I'm like, well, why not? I'm like, I don't give a rat's ass about anybody's opinion if they can't pay taxes. I am like a 90-year-old person in this regard. Like, live a little. You know what I mean? And I think about that because this is like one of many. Twitchy has like a whole catalog of this guy's dumbest moments. And it's basically his entire record of time in Congress. He has said some of the goofiest stuff. He's had to delete tweets right and left because it's so bad. Oh my gosh. Like it's bad. He, like at one point, you remember the Tyre Nichols case? And as it turned out, there were, black officers involved in this. And he had tweeted, doesn't matter what color the police officers are, the murder of Nichols is anti-black and the result of white supremacy. So that's like it was a new hot take that he had to delete because black officers are apparently white supremacy. And he had to delete that. I mean, that's like one of many. So long story short, this is, take down the Statue of Liberty if they're going to demand a secure border. What does that have to, there is an educational deficit in this country. And that's one of the many exhibits of it. And it's in Congress, the lack of education. What does one of those things have to do with the other? Oh, do we have to take down the Statue of Liberty to have a secure border? What does that do? I don't even know. What does that mean? Sidebar, do you remember? I remember in elementary school, I was like in first grade, I think. And they had to do, weren't you supposed to bring in pennies? And they were like fixing the Statue of Liberty and they needed all the kids' pennies. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I remember doing that. I remember bringing in some pennies. I'm thinking, I'm fixing the Statue of Liberty. I helped. It's technically, I own some of it, right? I don't know. But I don't even know what that was. If that's their, is that their best defense for this? Is that their best defense? Because this is dumb. If it is. Just, you know. And then you got this. Audio soundbite 9. Benny Thompson. Benny and the Jets. Audio soundbite 9.
The Democratic witness, respected impeachment expert and constitutional scholar, Professor Frank Bowman, testified, and I quote, policy differences, no matter how severe, no matter how heated, are simply not grounds for impeachment, unquote. You cannot impeach a cabinet secretary because you don't like a president's policies. That's not what impeachment is for. That's not what the Constitution says.
It literally is. If they're literally not doing their job, guess what you can do? You can impeach them. I don't know if you know that, but you can. Do you know that? You can actually impeach them if you don't like what they're doing. That's a real thing. And he's not, and Mayorkas is, good heavens, don't take my word for it. There's a New York Times article that dove into all of that. I mean, this guy was, he and others were encouraging DHS and HHS, encouraging people, process as many people as you can, just get them through. Makes me wonder, like, what's their cut like with, you know, from the cartels? What's the cut like? I'm just wondering. Audio soundbite 14 to this point. You know, I don't think that we're going to need any time. Listen to this. This is, what do they call her? Corrine Johnson. Yeah.
There's also a fact that there's, I think, 71%, and you can distribute polls differently. Yeah. Why does 71% of Americans think the economy is not doing well? I mean, you've listed a litany of things already. Yeah. Why the disconnect?
So we know that it's going to take time for people to fully feel what the president has done. But, again, we've seen consumer confidence go up.
What does that mean?
People are starting to
feel it. Is that trickle-down depression? Are they literally arguing the trickle down theory that they hated under Laffer? Are they? Is that what they're doing?
Sounds like it.
It's going to take time for people to fully feel what they're. I was on Jesse Waters last night and I made mention of the $7 butter. And he was like, what kind of bougie butter are you getting? And I wanted to go, Jesse, when's the last time you bought butter? It's not bougie butter. That's everyday butter. That's like basic B butter. I got basic B butter, dude. $7. It's like $6.90 some. $7. Round up. $7. People are feeling it right now. They're feeling it at the border. They're feeling it at the pump. They're feeling it. What is this whole, seriously, it's going to take time. It's been 4 years. It's going to take time for people to feel what he's done. What do you mean feel what? What are we supposed to feel? They never actually said that. What are we supposed to feel exactly?
I'm feeling something.
Yeah. I'm feeling a giant pain in my A double snakes. I'm feeling that. Who brung it? Golly. Oh my gosh, I can't. They're really struggling. They're struggling to deal with immigration, and immigration is becoming one of the top, if not the top issue that voters are looking at. And it's not just Republican voters, it's Democrats too. And Democrats are not reading the room. They really aren't. And that is so going to hurt them. It's so going to hurt them. A case in point, because we're going to talk about 2024 stuff. You know how I made mention of the Florida district, House District 35, right? And that was a district, it's predominantly Democrat. DeSantis flipped it. DeSantis was plus 11 in the election. Trump lost it by 5. And so they're a very specific type of voter. Like they'll vote for a Republican, but I think they were driven by the COVID stuff, education and immigration, right? That seems to be like the top three issues. And you had a Republican there who hated DeSantis and ran a stupid campaign. But what's more than that, it wasn't just the Republican that ran a dumb campaign. Even though the Democrat won by like what? Almost 3 points, like barely eked out a win. Now, in a district that is, I want to say, I think it's plus 13 Democrat. It's double digit. Why did the Democrats struggle so badly to eke out a win there? And I think, and it's not just this, because you can read this both ways going into 2024 with messaging and tone and all this other stuff. But Democrats are not reading the room at all. And as you get closer to November, it's going to become a little bit more urgent for people in terms of the economy, because no matter how big of an issue in a general election, no matter how big of an issue you make abortion, or even how prevalent it might be in other state elections or even in a midterm race, it always comes down to the economy, of which immigration is an aspect of it. And I'm telling you, they're not reading the room on this. And that works in Republicans' favor. But at the same time, I like having healthy disparities, because I think that you as the voter, we all benefit. I don't like a bunch of stupid people arguing who can be the dumbest. I want everyone bringing their best and the best coming from that. And when you have Democrats not reading the room, and they're messing this up. Like when Kamala Harris went on The View, and she was saying the same thing that KJP was saying. Oh, well, they're going to see soon. Like, when soon? They keep saying, well, they haven't seen, or they haven't fully felt what the president has done. Well, what's the timeline here, girl? Because it's been 4 years. And exactly what are people supposed to be feeling? What a stupid 30,000 foot vagary way to say that. That's so dumb. But Republicans got to read the room too. I'll tell you that. It is our friends, veteran owned. They employ retired and active duty veterans, and they do a lot of work with veteran and first responder causes. It's Black Rifle Coffee. I am a member of the Black Rifle Coffee Club, and you can be too. You can get 30% off of your first subscription order with code Dana. The absolute best coffee you can get. I honestly can't really drink anything else. Even if I'm traveling, I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm trying to figure out how to bring a French press to a SHOT Show, because I'm just delivered fresh to your door. You choose your brew, how often you want it, no shipping fee. And you never run out of coffee. Take your experience up to a whole new level. The AK-47 Espresso, Thin Blue Line, that's their medium roast. The Freedom Fuel Dark Roast. I love the Silencer Smooth also. Pick your delivery schedule. You're done. Again, no shipping fee. And you're going to save. It's affordable. And they have everything you need for the perfect brew, too. Grinders, mugs, everything and more. And every time you shop with Black Rifle Coffee, you're helping fuel their mission to support veteran and first responder causes. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today and get 30% off your first month with code Dana. Start saving money on high-quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, this is an absolute lie. You know who authored this study? Men. Men, they say, are better with directions than women. And it's a stupid study that's probably not at all based in science. Shut up, it is not. University of Illinois it's determined that when it comes to how different genders are raised, they said that enhanced navigational abilities versus females. They say that men. Okay, that's not true. At least not in my marriage. It is not true. I am literally like I can navigate six ways to Sunday. I literally learned how to read like navigational charts and all this stuff. When we had a boat, we were down fishing and all that. I learned everything. I actually like read up and everything. I wanted to know how to navigate. I am the navigational person in our relationship.
You're the exception to the rule.
I just feel, well, you know what? And then when we've done all kinds of defensive handgun courses, everyone's like, oh, you listened so well. Like, you followed, like, you completed this. I'm always the one who completes a task and I follow it. And they're like, well, yeah, women just listen, you know, better. And these are the men instructors that are saying this. So this is fake news. It's fake news. But they say that that their study shows that men take, you know, the navigational stuff. I don't know. Man, my stepdad couldn't navigate. I'm just saying he couldn't. God love him, but he couldn't. Let's see here. I got a couple of other. Oh, this is a good. Florida public colleges are now barred from using state and federal funds for DEI programs. It is a new rule, a byproduct of legislation that was spearheaded by DeSantis. It applies to 28 schools within the Florida college system. And so they said that they will not allow taxpayer funds to be used to promote DEI at any of the 28 state college campuses. It's done. That's huge. That's super huge. And that needs to like extend everywhere. That's really good news. And we need more and more of those wins. So this was weird. I was reading this. Schwarzenegger was detained in Munich for an unregistered watch. He was transporting a watch for a charity auction. And they held him up at the airport because they said it was an unregistered luxury watch that he didn't declare through customs. He had to pay $30,000 and they demanded half of it in cash. And he said that it was like a hold 'em up or something. And it does sound like that. They tried to have him use a credit card machine for an hour and then they made him walk to an ATM and withdraw money. It was ended up being $10,000. The taxes were like over $10,000 and they wouldn't let him leave until he figured out how to get money and he had to pay half in cash. It was his own property and he was bringing it into Germany for a charity auction that he wasn't even, and he had to pay. I don't understand that. What am I missing? That's one of the dumbest damn things I've ever heard. AI Fraud Act could outlaw parodies, political cartoons and more. Oh boy. I don't know what I think about. Oh man, this is going to get crazy. This is where all the new legal stuff is coming in with tech. It's a very, very broadly written bill, and you could target anything from ChatGPT generated images to satire to comedic impressions. Any of it. It's a very long name for this bill. No Artificial Intelligence Fake Replicas and Unauthorized Duplications Act. So it's the No AI Fraud Act. And it's under, Reason notes, it's under the auspices of protecting your right to likeness and voice. But it's so restrictive that it literally ensnares absolutely everything. So something else fun to watch. I mean, that's whenever, and broadly written. Good heavens. Sharing fake nude images could become a federal crime under proposed law. The reintroduction of preventing deepfakes, this is part of that. That actually, if you are sharing an image of someone and it's digitally altered, like in your, and it's like you're telling everyone you're sharing nude images, you could actually be actionable for this now. Goodness. And men with boobs, they say if you got man boobs, that could actually raise a risk of early death. This is a study from Denmark. What is it called? Gynecomastia. It's a hormonal imbalance, and it affects between 1 to 2/3 of men, and it varies with age. And they said the development of it, you know, you get 3 different stages, but they said that it actually, men who have it, they have a 37% increase of early death from any cause compared to those without the condition. And they said, interestingly, neurological diseases were linked to a 29% lower risk. All right, so coming up, can we talk about bad surrogacy within the GOP? Because I have prime example for you, and it needs to stop. Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What I could tell you is, like, for every Karen we lose, there's a Julio and a Jamal ready to sign up for the MAGA movement, and that bodes well for our ability to be more diverse and to be more durable as we head into...
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard. That's Matt Gaetz, who's doing, like, the worst surrogacy I've ever seen. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour. This is what I'm talking about. So... He was doing an interview, and he said that for every Karen, which is a kind of a slur, I guess, for white chicks, right? White women, suburban white women, you know, the demo that Republicans do so great with, that for every Karen Trump loses, he'll pick up a Julio or a Jamal to his base.
No Darnells?
Yeah, no Darnells.
Oh.
You don't get no Darnells.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm. So, why would you do that? Just why? Why would you do that? Look, the primary, and we'll talk about that here coming up, but let's just say that everything's right. Or even not, if that's the guy that you want, why would you do that to him? Why are you like this? Why are you Beavising this up? Stop it. Well, you know, for every Karen we get or that we lose, got a Julio and a Jamal there, but no Darnells. Oh, my gosh. Because that's the one demo that Trump does not do well with. No Republican's ever really done great with it. But Trump has been on the struggle bus with that demo. I mean, I got receipts for days. Not that I just, this is the way it is. Republicans have always kind of struggled with that demo. I mean, Trump was even like, please, like, listen, this was like the last time he's campaigning. Listen.
Suburban women, will you please like me? Please.
Like, why is he doing this? Why would Gaetz go out there and be like, well, you know, for every Karen. Shh. Shh. Because that's the demo, again, that all Republicans struggle with. But Trump has got to have, he's got to have suburban women. I mean, that's just, and 2024, November is, well, we'll get to national polls here later on. But that's the group that you can't go out there and be like, well, he doesn't need women. But their realignment isn't such where you can lose suburban white women. And I think going out and just sticking your foot in your mouth like that is just, it's unnecessary, and it creates problems for the candidate that you profess to be advocating for. It's bad surrogacy. I don't know why you would do that. It's just it's bad strategy. I mean, if I had a surrogate go out there and say that stuff, man, I'd be yanking a knot in their tail, because it just creates unnecessary drama and unnecessary antagonism where you shouldn't add more. It's just goofy. Now, the other thing, too, I wanted to play is this, because I think that the time for Republicans issuing ultimatums on stuff is done. But I wanted, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't agree with her all the time. Some, I love it when she shows the Hunter pictures in the hearings, because it is hysterical. Straight faced, acts like it's no big deal. And everyone else is like over the top, gasping, grabbing at their necks, like, it's hysterical. This is not one of those times, though. So she's mad at Mike Johnson. And let me remind you. Remember, we were told by all these cats that we were going to trade out these, you know, this speaker. We're going to trade out this speaker for a more conservative speaker. We didn't get a more conservative speaker. And now this one has less political capital. Now, he seems like a nice guy. I know people who know him. I don't know him. Never met him. He seems like a nice guy. Nothing personal against him, but I'm just going by what I see. And she's mad, and then she says this in an interview. Listen.
Any Republican, or really anyone elected to serve in the United States Congress, should be supporting, protecting America's national security interests, and they would never vote for that deal. And that's why I told Speaker Johnson, if he made that deal in exchange for $60 billion for Ukraine, I would vacate the chair, and I still stand by those words.
All right, so this is why that's a problem. You cannot be hardcore on this while also, and again, this is where you can't be throwing down ultimatums because you're creating problems for yourself. I think the bill's garbage, too. The bill is pretty much exactly what the guy that you endorsed pushed in 2018. And that was, but that also included amnesty for 1.8 million people. That's not me. That's the history of what happened. I'm just pointing it out. And that's why I'm saying you cannot all of a sudden throw down a line that's harder than the line that you are using to measure your endorsement for the candidate you are advocating, that you're advocating everybody vote for. You got to be consistent, and you cannot create these traps for yourself. And that's kind of what she did here. Are we going to sit here and vacate the chair all the time? I mean, if you're going to have Mike Johnson vacate because you're mad about this bill, then my gosh, don't look back at 2018. 1.8 million getting amnesty. Hell, don't look at that. But at the same time, I think this is a problem with Johnson. And it's not that, you know, he's a bad guy. It is what it is. It's a tight majority in the House that we are on track to lose in November. This bill is probably not going to go anywhere. I can't imagine that it would go anywhere. And if it wasn't for people like Chip Roy and Thomas Massie and some of the House Freedom Caucus, if it wasn't for House Freedom Caucus standing against this, it would already be done. If it wasn't for the House Freedom Caucus, you would already be sending more of our taxpayer dollars to Ukraine. If it wasn't for the House Freedom Caucus, we'd already have the college loan forgiveness, aka we're subsidizing everybody else's college education while struggling to pay our own bills in a high inflation Biden economy. If it wasn't for the House Freedom Caucus, there would be a lot of hell to pay. So I think that doing stupid ultimatums like this for the sake of political theater are just that. It's just stupid and it's unnecessary. There's just no reason at all to do it. I don't know. It's got to stop. Now, this is Johnson reacting. Audio Soundbite 7. This is what he had to say to that. Listen.
No, I have a job to do. We all have to do our jobs. Marjorie Taylor Greene is very upset about the lack of oversight over the funding and the lack of a articulation of a plan, as am I. All of us. Many
House Republicans
feel that
way. She doesn't care about a plan. She doesn't want any Ukraine funding, period. No matter what the White House says the plan is.
I understand that. Yeah, I've talked with her about it personally at great length, and she's made her position very clear. We have to do our job. We have to continue to ensure that we're covering all these bases, and we'll see how all this shakes out.
Yeah, it was super editorial. I don't like it when I hear people. That was a trip for her. I don't like it when people jump in editorializing like that because it just sounds like YouTube commenters. I just don't, not like you guys in the YouTube discussion. You know what I mean? Like first, it's always on some viral video and everyone's like losing their minds. But that's kind of what she had, that energy. Like, well, you know, she doesn't want any plan. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's just not that one. This is not the one that, but I just think those kind of ultimatums are dumb. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to need every vote you can going into November. You know, you're going to need every single vote possible. I'm going to add this too, as it relates to all the primary stuff, because I'm looking to see, I like the process to play out. I want to see what happens, you know, in New Hampshire and in South Carolina and all this stuff. And we, in our system, we spend money on primaries. I prefer having the voters. I'm a voter in Texas. Forgive me if I just don't think that 20% of the registered Republicans in a low turnout primary in Iowa get to have their say and the rest of us don't. I think as many people as possible should get to have their say in the primary. I don't like the people, or I don't like the argument that some people are making that, oh, well, one race, everybody's, let's go, we got to reset the table. Everybody, as many as possible should be able to have their say in this. Quit cutting out voices. That's anti-Republic. Stop cutting voices out. Now I'm going to watch and see how this goes all the way through New Hampshire and South Carolina. Maybe it'll go to Super Tuesday. Maybe it won't. But I'm going to tell you this. the ultimatums and stuff that Republicans are throwing out to each other and throwing out, you know, everybody else and all of this. And I'm looking at a couple of these other races. Like there's this one race that I'm seeing where Bob Good is. Taylor Greene also blasted him. Marjorie Taylor Greene blasted. He's the House Freedom Caucus chair. She called him a disloyal MAGA traitor because he had endorsed Ron DeSantis after Iowa. I don't like this. This is tribalism. You don't get unity by targeting good conservatives, electable conservatives, and winnable seats out of vengeance over an endorsement. It is, I'll say this one time, it is not the voters' responsibility to bring unity. It is the candidates' responsibility to bring unity. And you will not bring any unity by targeting good conservatives, electable conservatives, in winnable districts as vengeance over an endorsement. Now, you can't destroy your best representatives because those are the people you are going to need. Those are the people that will have the spines of steel to get your vision across. Those are the people that won't cave. Those are the people that will take the arrows for the limited government policies. Why you would forsake those people, some of the strongest warriors, is beyond. But that's not unity. And it's not the voters' responsibility to bring unity. It's the candidates. Now, that being said, we got Florida Man to roll in too.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man was caught stealing a surveillance camera that was set up to prevent stealing. It's Marion County, Florida. Deputies are looking for the man they say stole a surveillance camera set up to prevent theft at a construction site. The unidentified man went to a home that was under construction, stole the camera worth about $355. And he's literally right there on the footage. And they go, well, it's unfortunate that he stole the camera, but it did its job. But they don't know who he is. They're trying to identify him. And so there you go. You're supposed to call Crime Stoppers if you know who the guy is. Golly, a Florida man, 20 years old, yells, catch the kid, and throws a toddler from a second story window during a custody argument. His name is Cadram Coleman. Jiminy Christmas. I thought Monty Outlaw from yesterday was... He was charged with custody interference and child neglect. He legit threw a one-year-old out of a second-story window. It was in Tarpon Springs. He grabbed the toddler, threw him out to someone waiting below, and he yelled, catch the kid, according to witnesses. Thankfully, the child was caught and unharmed, according to Pasco County Sheriff's Office. He put the child into his sister's vehicle, and then he tried to flee the scene, but he was located at his mom's house by detectives. Sheriff's office says that he had not taken the necessary steps to prove that he was the kid's father. Oh, boy, it's one of those. He was arrested on one kind of interference with custody, child neglect and injury. He's in Lando Lakes. The butter place, but this is prison.
No butter.
No butter there.
No Indian.
Although they might want some. It's a joke. Shh. No. Why this one? He looks like he would do this crime. A 32-year-old, Kane just did this to me on purpose. Hang on. A 32-year-old South Florida man has been arrested for stabbing a man multiple times after...
After what?
He engaged in some solo romance.
Not bad.
In front of the guy.
Not bad.
That he stabbed.
I commend you.
The stabbing occurred after the suspect, identified as Devin Cooper, approached the victim while the victim slept in a parking garage stairwell. The situation escalated when Cooper decided to perform solo romance. And the victim was like, go away. And then Cooper stabbed the victim multiple times and stole his backpack. The police were called. Cooper was arrested. He had a knife and clearly he did it. And so he's
escalated quickly.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you don't want to watch, then I'm going to stab you. I don't know. This is crazy. There's nothing I can say. Everything is going to go sideways if I continue with this.
Actually, you did a great job. I thought it was really going to fail horribly.
Oh, I did too. Believe. I'm like, don't fail me now, brain. So, like, let's.
Kudos to you.
And last but not least, a Florida woman she's pled guilty to smuggling guns to Haiti. What? Alonde Tunis of Pompano Beach has pled guilty to 48 count indictment. She went to jail. She was apparently in a weapons smuggling conspiracy case, and she was helping to coordinate the armed kidnapping of 17 missionaries, apparently, in October 2021. She was helping to send guns to Haitian gang members. That is crazy. In Florida, Pompano Beach, you just never know with people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just never know. Oh, my gosh. All right, this is what we got coming up. I still think Monty Outlaw. Man, that name. That was his actual name. His actual last name was Outlaw. All right, so coming up, this is what we got for you. We got Congressman Thomas Massie, who's going to be joining us later on in the program. We also have this latest on the CR, the immigration fight, and the Daniel Penny case, because it's not just that the Second Amendment has always been under defense. That's always been just a stepping stone to what the end goal is, which is to stop and criminalize all self-defense, any form. We got that and more. Stick with us.
Are the airstrikes in Yemen working?
Well, when you say working, are they stopping the Houthis? No.
What? I got a question. So what? Why then? Okay. That was Biden. That's the only time they can ever ask him questions is if they chase him down as he's exiting a chopper, Marine One. And then he kind of answers, welcome back to the program, Daniel Lashier, with you. Always good to be with you. Top of this third hour, we got Congressman Thomas Massie coming up later on in this same hour. Yeah, no, they're not working. Wow, what, is that like a day of, I don't know, is that honesty? I feel like that meme, is that honesty? I don't know. Is it? Okay. So then what is the point? What's the point? Would like to know. We've hit them. It's been called his whack-a-mole strategy. And whether or not, because it was 14 missiles that they were preparing to launch. The Houthis had fired an anti-ship cruise missile at the USS Laboon. That was the one that I think was intercepted. And then they hit a container ship with anti-ship ballistic missiles. And then they hit the U.S.-owned Marshall Islands flagged container ship, Jinko Picardy, with a suicide drone. So some of the merchant ships, like, the way CENTCOM writes about them, some of them are, they say that they're like U.S. owned or U.S. operated, because it's this thing between the United States and the Marshall Islands. I guess the relationship there, I was looking at, in fact, there was a piece that was on Red State that was looking at the relationship between the Marshall Islands and U.S. and who flies what and all that stuff. Can I ask a question, though, while we're talking about the Houthi thing and the container ships? Kane, what department would the shipping stuff fall under?
Probably transportation or?
Yeah. Where's that dude at?
Booty juice?
Yeah.
Ah, that's a good question.
Booty juice.
I don't watch MSNBC, so I don't really know.
Has anybody looked at Whole Foods? Have they looked at Whole Foods? Have they... Attention shoppers. Have they done that yet?
Attention shoppers. Yes, we would appreciate it if Secretary Mayor Poop Booty Juice would come to customer service, please. Secretary Mayor Newmont Poop Booty Juice, thank you.
You have to add the little beep in there so they know the transmission's over. Where's he at, though? Because we haven't, it's been, what, a week? And this specifically relates to shipping, which is the Department of Kane Transportation. Does that mean, so I would guess that I would guess that the responsibility of those people involved in that would fall under that jurisdiction, right? It feels like he's ill-prepared for this moment. So what is this? I mean, what are they? And look, I do think when you're literally sending missiles and suicide drones at our ships that we operate, yeah, you are actually targeting American interests. This is some Barbary pirate stuff. I get it. But the response, what is the goal of the response? I mean, isn't there supposed to be one? Or is it just like, oh, yeah, and then a missile? Like what? You know, what is the, is it to scare them into knocking it off? Because I don't think that that's happening. If they're still sending over missiles, I'm not making a statement here or there. I'm just, seriously, it is as transparent as what you're seeing this as. What is the goal? Do we think that they're going to go up? Well, there's another rock. We better stop. Is that it? I don't know. What is the strategy? Because you had a big attack on the 11th, and that was leaked to the media. There was a. Why was there more anger directed towards the action we took of carrying out strikes against the Houthis than there was at the Houthis for literally sending a barrage of rockets and suicide drones and missiles at literal U.S. operated merchant vessels? Anybody? Where were those people then?
And it goes back as far as November.
Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, yeah. No, it didn't hear anything from them about that. This is why I'm like, well, like, what is the point here? So we've carried out, you know, strikes against this, but Biden seems to, I mean, good grief. Biden is MIA on this. The SecDef was out. I mean, for the love. This is getting a little ridiculous here at this point. But I don't think that clearly what the response from the administration is, and I'm not saying I'm not a war ink. I'm not, but I just feel like there's what is the strategy? Because they're clearly still doing it. And the Red Sea is still not a safe place for commercial traffic because people, I mean, why are we providing security to not just our U.S. operated ships, but now like every other entity out there that's going in the Red Sea would depend on U.S., the United States protecting their vessels too. And you can't detect every single rocket that the Houthi want to shoot off. So they've been able to actually disrupt energy supply. They've been able to disrupt actual shipping out of Red Sea. And they're on pace for all of it. So what is the goal for their response here? Has that ever been, I don't think that's been asked at any of the press conferences. I don't think it has. What's their goal? Because clearly this isn't working. It is, like I said, it was described as a whack-a-mole strategy. So I don't know. Biden says the airstrikes are going to continue. So we're just going to strike them, and then they're going to strike us back, and then we're going to strike them, and they're going to strike us back. Has it opened up Red Sea? Is my point. I feel like there needs to be a cleverer responds here. Just, you know. Now, in the meantime, not just with that, Greg Abbott, in court, he won in a court of appeals over the buoys. You remember the buoys, the floating little barrier that they had? It wasn't in the whole of the Rio. It was in some of the parts where shallow enough where people could just kind of walk across. And they were trying to tell Abbott, you've got to remove the buoys. They were trying to force him to do it. They couldn't actually go in there and cut them like they were doing the wire fencing and all this stuff. So they had, in December, a court ruled against Abbott that in an order that would have forced him to move the barrier from the river. And by the way, the barriers aren't permanent. You can move them as you need to. And then the court granted Abbott's request, this is Houston Chronicle, for a rehearing of the case with the entire Fifth Circuit instead of a three-judge panel that made the initial call. So he gets to keep the buoy barrier in the water through May. The new hearing isn't scheduled until May. This has been since summer. And remember, they put the buoys up. The Army Corps of Engineers was like, you didn't ask us. And Texas was like, and? So they're like, the Federal Rivers and Harbors Act means we've got to get involved. And Texans are like, our tax dollars paying for all of this means we trump you. Yep. Move on. It doesn't. And the DOJ was like, it poses a risk to navigation. Shut up. It does not. It literally doesn't. You know what poses a risk to navigation? All of the illegal immigrants that are going across the river because you won't shut the damn border, you freaks. That's what it is. And it's only at specific points. I mean, do they not realize that a lot of the points where there is no navigation going, sorry, there's no big navigation going through parts of the Rio where they had deployed some of these barriers. There just isn't because it was so shallow. If it's so shallow that you're walking across it, unless you're canoeing or you're in a little raft, what do they think, that you're sending a vessel through there? They think that you're stupid. Jiminy Christmas. So DHS warned Texas too, stop interfering with our access at the border. So they're firing off letters back and forth. Ken Paxton sent his own letter out and he was like, take your cease and desist and cram it. And he goes, facts and law are on the side of Texas. Well, he didn't say cram it. That wasn't his official response. But if I distilled it all down, it would have been that. You know what I mean? He says the facts and laws side with Texas. The state's going to utilize constitutional authority to defend her territory, etc. And he's right. And that was, they were trying to send a C&D after they were trying to play up the drowning immigrant story in the Rio. And it was the it was on the basis of that lie, which is another reason I was so angry at this. It was on the basis of that fraudulent claim that they based their demand for a C&D. And Paxton was like, that's not even what happened. And said no. So they're so really ultimately Texas lawmakers are doing Biden's job and they're mad about it. I've never seen so mad at people who do their work for them. They should say thank you. Like, you know, maybe send a thank you gift, right? That's like that's what normal people do. Now, in the meantime, really quickly going back to the Iran situation, this was last night because was it last night or the other night that I saw this? Let me pull this story up because this was an AP story that I had. And I wanted to. So apparently the situation with Pakistan and the border with Pakistan and Iran, there has been, you know, everybody's been closely watching this, right? And there was, a rocket attack. Iran launched attacks. They said that they were targeting terrorists in Pakistan. And apparently it killed two children. And so Pakistan returned fire with its own airstrikes into Iran. This is the AP. It says Pakistani retaliatory strikes in Iran kill at least 9, raising tensions along that border. So the conflict is spilling out. It's this between Iran and Pakistan. And this is ongoing as Iran's also funding Hezbollah and the Houthis and Hamas. And they're behind all of this disruption. I wish the Saudis would just slap them down and be done with it. And so they are, and they're having unrest in their own theocracy too, the AP noted. I'm going to put this story. This is a really fascinating look because there's a lot of moving parts in the story. But so now you have, because they're nuclear powers. You know, they're super smart about it too, I'm sure. And definitely not, oh man. This could be super bad. I'm just saying, it could be bad.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I just heard that the new Terminal List, Dark Wolf, that's going to begin production early this year on Prime Video from our friend Jack Carr. They just announced that. Pauly Shore is going to play Richard Simmons in a new biopic. I honestly cannot think of a more perfect casting. Oh my gosh. He's totally going to sweat to the oldies. He's going to play Richard Simmons in this new biopic. It's in development at Warner Brothers. They're a subsidiary of Warner Brothers. And Simmons disavowed it because he's apparently really reclusive. And he goes, he never gave his permission for it, but you don't need it. So it's called The Court Jester. That follows a short film that was titled that premiered at Sundance. So this is, it's going to be a biopic. Pauly Shore in it. I actually would see this. I would go see Pauly Shore in this. I really would. Yeah. A federal judge has blocked JetBlue's $3.8 billion acquisition of Spirit Airlines. Isn't Spirit the one that all the fights happen on? It's like the Waffle House of the air.
I think JetBlue too.
Is it all the flights on all the fights on JetBlue too? Really? Huh. Look at that. Anyway, their merger was blocked. This is oof. Planes collided at an airport in Japan during wintry weather. It looked really bad. A Korean plane clipped the wings of another jet at an airport in their northern island of Hokkaido on Tuesday amid heavy snow. And that comes right after a fatal aircraft collision in Tokyo. No injuries were reported in this collision. It was at occurred around like 5:30 p.m., but it was still, dark out, and it was snowy. Airport safety issues have been under scrutiny since that fatal accident at their airport in Tokyo. But the flight, they had to cancel some flights after that because obviously clipped the wings and you got chaos on the tarmac and everything else. So, goodness. Speaking of collisions here, a collision of two planes in Chicago has sparked an FAA investigation. A plane taxiing for departure clipped another aircraft at Chicago's O'Hare. This was on Sunday, according to the FAA. Again, no injuries. Both were Boeing. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Do you think it was if both were Boeing?
I don't know. Pilot Air.
It sounds like Pilot Air. FAA says they're going to investigate the incident. Were they women drivers? Pilots. It was, they've had that happening. I wonder if I'm not going to say it, but you're all thinking. I'm not going to say it. I'm just saying it because it's all in your head and you thought it and you didn't mean to think it. But I mean, is this, like the women hire one? Is this, are we going to see more of this? That there's studies that have been done on it? I got a lot of questions. I got a lot of questions pertaining to this. I'm just saying. All right, we got more to come. Congressman Thomas Massey joins us next. Stay with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are you repeating this false claim that Republicans voted to reduce the number of Border Patrol agents, even though the Washington Post gave the administration 3 Pinocchios for that?
So we don't believe it's a false claim. Our statements were very direct here. Last year, House GOP voted, and not only did they vote for it, but they touted. They touted their Limit Save Grow Act. That's the act.
Well, they
voted for and touted it, right? This is an act. And this would have forced the elimination of 2,000 Border Patrol agents. That's what this act that they touted, that they voted in the House. So that was their proposal, and that was what they voted for back in May.
I actually have learned something here. I'm going to start using that tactic anytime someone says something that is inconvenient for me and is based in fact. I'm just going to simply say, we just don't believe that to be true. We just don't know. That was Corinne Jean-Pierre or Corinne Johnson, depending on, who you want to believe and how they introduce her. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh here with you. Bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. Watch the simulcast, the video component of the radio program as well. Check out the podcast. Joining us now, Representative Thomas Massey from the beautiful state of Kentucky. He's in D.C. Pray for him. He's in D.C. He's been there doing the Lord's work, and he joins us now via Skype. Congressman, it's good to see you. I just wanted to kind of get your little quick reaction to that. She just, that's not her truth.
Oh, just make it up. You just fake it till you make it is their motto, I guess. And by the way, I'm trying to do the Lord's work. I don't think anything we are doing here this week the Lord would approve of, though.
Oh my gosh. Say that. I love that sound. We're just going to keep that sound bite for forever. Something that could be said about that with DC. This big fight at the border, I know that there's this back and forth over, we've got the CR, there's demands for properly funding the border, but then that's also met with demands from the left. That's, well, we have to fund more of whatever we're funding. I don't think we actually have a tally of what we're paying for in Ukraine. I just don't know how much longer Democrats are going to think this is tenable for the administration or for really all of these border towns. We had 290,000 plus come across the border, as you know, Congressman, just in the month of December. Cartels are making $35 million just off a 245-mile stretch of the border. I mean, does somebody get in a cut in D.C.? I mean, I'm trying to figure out why this hasn't been done. This seems like an easy win for Democrats.
It would be a win. I mean, you would think in an election year, Biden would want to handle the most pertinent issue in front of us. It's almost like we'd be doing him a favor to take care of the border and to shut it down leading up to the election, because he could take credit for it. But, they can't do the right thing, even when it would suit them better than the wrong thing. And so they want to keep overrunning this country with illegal aliens.
Hmm. I know that in the Senate, they're forging ahead on this border bill. There's been a lot of back and forth. It seems bad. What I've read, it seems like worse than what we have.
I just looked over the bullet points again. It looks like an amnesty bill, basically.
It's like 2018 part two.
Yeah, it's, and that's the problem. You know, Paul Ryan had an amnesty first, wall second type of funding bill that they kept trying to get the president to do and eventually did. We need to put the wall first, and then maybe we can talk about those other things. But frankly, we need to start deporting people, or else it's still just another magnet. Imagine, you pay $5,000 to a coyote to come over here. It's like your life savings. And then you get sent back to the place you started. That only needs to happen a few times, and people aren't going to spend that money or take those risks to their lives to get here if they end up where they started.
Is taxing the remittances, or at least doing something to be able to recoup, is this something, I mean, how easy would this be able to pull off in the House?
I think there'd be an appetite for it. This is something that Ron DeSantis has mentioned on the trail. You know, I've been campaigning with him in South Carolina, Iowa, and New Hampshire. Trump said he would get, Mexico to pay for the wall. And then when he got elected, he said, oh, I'm sorry, there's really no way to do that. But there is a way to do that. And Ron DeSantis says you just tax the remittances. I think we could get it done.
I would like, that would be great to get that done, having that force multiplier at the southern border. I want to talk more about what's going on in D.C. really quickly about their primary. We had the Iowa results, and I always tell people, look, let this play out, because I think as many people deserve to have their voices heard in this as possible. I just don't think it's very representative of our republic to just say, like, okay, only Iowans get to have their say. And even then, it was kind of low turnout. I mean, 115,000, 20% of the registered voters, half of that, half the delegates going into New Hampshire and South Carolina. I mean, whatever, what ends up happening will happen. But I think as many people should play into this as possible, and not fewer people. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what we learned in Iowa and what we're going to see in New Hampshire is that until this becomes a head-to-head race, it's going to be hard for anybody to compete with Trump. When you've got three or four or even two people splitting the vote against an incumbent, by the way, he got barely 50%. This is not a good sign for somebody who's effectively the incumbent Republican president to barely get 50%. And that's, probably about where the polls show that he is in New Hampshire. I think this has got to become a head-to-head race. Now, Ron DeSantis was second in Iowa. Nikki Haley said that she would be second, and her Democrat donors were relying on her to come in second. Now, she also told them that she was going to win New Hampshire. And I think when she drops that ball, ultimately, because she's not going to win New Hampshire, she's not competing in Nevada. She's not even going to get a single delegate there, because she's not competing in those caucuses. And then when you go to South Carolina, she's not going to win her home state. I think her corporate donors and her Democrat donors are going to say, wait, you told us you were going to deliver and you haven't. I think at that point, it becomes a head-to-head race and a very clear choice between the most successful executive in my lifetime in government, Ron DeSantis, and President Trump, who promised a lot of things and didn't deliver.
One of the things we're talking with Representative Thomas Massey, one of the things that I've been sort of getting, you know, all the listeners and the people who are watching the simulcast accustomed to is that, you know, it is a marathon. It's not a sprint to the finish, and it's a delegate race, but it's also a race of survival. And you mentioned, you know, she's not even competing in the caucuses in Nevada, but if she has the cash flow, which she's expected to pick up quite a bit in Texas, they have the Bushwing, the Roves, all of the, literally the entire establishment, people that I protested against back in the early days when helping to co-found the Tea Party in 2008, those individuals are helping to finance her campaign. She's got back-to-back fundraisers coming up in Texas. I mean, talk a little bit about that, because that goes a long way regardless of how many delegates you're picking up.
Yeah, if she can't put gas in the tank, you can't go forward. I mean, ultimately, that's what Iowa and New Hampshire do. It takes a lot of money to get through those states. And it was always the case that Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley and Trump were the only ones who were going to be able to make it past these first two states. I do think she set expectations too high, and that her donors bought into a plan that's not materializing. She said she would take out Ron in Iowa. It didn't happen. She said she would take out Trump in New Hampshire. Not going to happen. She's not going to compete in Nevada, and she's not going to win South Carolina. I think her donors are going to look at that and say, I don't know. And meanwhile, coming out of Iowa, I think Trump has 20 delegates. Ron DeSantis has 9, and Nikki Haley has 8. Those are rough numbers, and they could possibly get assigned differently. And that's less than 2% of the delegates, right? And you're still going to be at less than 3% of the delegates when you come out of New Hampshire. It's very early. You know, personally, I would like to see Kentuckians have a say in who the nominee is going to be. And we go after Super Tuesday. Yeah. So we're used to having the final say, but a lot of times it's said before we get there. So at least let's see this through to Super Tuesday. That's my opinion. People deserve a choice. We shouldn't coronate, you know, the last candidate who frankly lost to Joe Biden. Do we want a rematch? I don't believe these polls, by the way, that show, you know, that Trump is beating Joe Biden in these purple states. If that is true, wait until the Democrats turn, or the media, I should say, sometimes the same thing.
Yeah.
Wait until they turn on Trump, and then it becomes about his issues. They want to campaign on his issues. Ron DeSantis wants to campaign on the people's issues going forward. We should be looking forward, not in the rearview mirror.
No, I think that's a very good point. I share your perspective on this. I'm like, I usually like Super Tuesday because it is a delegate race, and a lot of people look at percentages. But it's hard when not every state's winner take all. Some are awarded, you know, proportionately, you know, to the win, etc. I want to move on here because we've got a whole bunch of other stuff to hit. We were talking about the border. We were also getting into, I wanted to bring this up really quickly, the surveillance. Now, this Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Jordan, and I know others in House Judiciary Committee, they sent this letter to the former director of the office of the long list. Oh, gosh, this title's long. Former director of the Office of Stakeholder Integration Engagement, blah, blah, blah. Basically saying Treasury Department, the search terms and merchant category codes coming up, everything from Zelle to Bible to. I mean, they would even touch on former, you know, former lawmakers, like even Trump, everything that would somehow flag. They've done this to firearms, LLCs, yes, too. They've done this to gun stores as well. From what I understand, this kicked off in January before Biden assumed office in 2021. Are we now only just finding out how far this went, and why is that?
Yeah, this is something we just uncovered. I'm on the Judiciary Committee, mm-hmm, and I'm also on the Weaponization Committee,
yes,
which is a select subcommittee. And Jim Jordan and I, we started pulling on this string that we found from January 6th, where a whistleblower who, you know, worked at the FBI told us that they had, the FBI asked the Bank of America to basically do a dragnet through all of their database of their customers, find anybody who had purchased a gun anywhere in the United States, not constrained to a certain period of time, using a Bank of America card, and then who was present on January 6th or at the inauguration later. They were doing this dragnet. They weren't investigating suspects. They were trying to create suspects out of all Americans who have a Bank of America card. Now, they also asked other banks to do this without a warrant. This is the key thing. No warrant, no probable cause, no reasonable suspicion even. They're just casting a net through all of the customer data records. So, and they also asked banks, other banks to do this. But we do know from Bank of America admitted to us that they did comply with the FBI's request. Now, as we pulled on that thread, we found what you're talking about. They wanted to establish these tags. And even like the names of, I won't give them advertisement here on your show, but the names of sporting goods stores, yeah. If you shopped at different sporting goods stores, you would, you know, they wanted to tag you to, you know, identify extremists, radicals, lone wolves, ridiculous. Because in middle America, you know, I feel bad giving out gift cards at Christmas to these sporting goods places. I just tagged all of my family.
Oh, you did. Well, in a lot of these places, that's the big store you go to. I mean, my family's in Southern Missouri. That's like, those are the big stores you go to. That's like the biggest, some of the biggest retailers that are around, unless you want to drive, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours north to a JCPenney. I will say that one, because that's the big one.
Right. You know, and I didn't have time to shop this year. I've been busy in Congress. So I was like, well, let's get them gift cards and they can buy guns or ammo or whatever they want. That's the other thing. You know, and by the way, on the trail, you know, Ron's been talking about central bank digital currencies, and so have some of the other candidates, and eliminating those, the need to. And we've been accused of being conspiracy theorists that, oh, you're saying they want to, you know, do central bank digital currency so that they could check your social credit score and track, did you buy too much ammo? Did you put too much gas in your car? Whereas that's actually already going on. That's what, you know, Jim Jordan and I and others on Judiciary Committee are discovering. It's already going on. The central bank digital currency just gives them an off switch when they, you know, where they could just, after they've decided that you've spent too much on these things, they could turn it off.
Wow. There's a lot. And I know you're still pulling on that string, and hopefully we can get, is there a way to just real quick, last question. Is there a way to stop this? Like, how can we protect consumers?
You know, they claim what they're doing is legal. They're going to try to claim that. They're using, laws that were supposed to, this is the irony, laws that were supposed to protect your financial data, but written into those laws are loopholes. So I do think we need legislation in the Judiciary Committee, and hopefully we can bring that to the floor.
Now that we know
what they're doing with the existing laws, we need to change them and make it explicit. You cannot do this.
I'm so glad that y'all found that and have been on it. Of course, we knew the guy who made his own debt clock to terrify us all every single time we see him. You guys were talking on break about how many a minute, and I can't even deal with it. I'm already going to have nightmares tonight. This thing tallies up every, ugh.
Yeah, it's a $1 trillion every 140 days. It's $85,000 a second. The rate has just gone through the roof. And, you know, this summer, here's what I don't like about the deal that's in the House right now. This summer, we agreed to raise the debt limit in exchange for spending caps and spending cuts. And now it's like the White House and the Senate have buyer's remorse and they're trying to renegotiate the deal. I don't think we should. I think we should hold them to the caps this summer.
Yes, sir. I agree completely. I think it's the right way to go. Representative Thomas Massie, so appreciate your fight. So appreciate
Thanks.
It. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
More than 1 to 10 of you reminded me that I never actually updated you over the Al story. We're going to deep dive on the Daniel Penny story tomorrow and compare and contrast these two cases. So you have that to look forward to for tomorrow. The Al thing, he's in there sometimes and he's not. And I'm just assuming this bird's gender because he just looks, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't have long eyelashes. So I'm just assuming it's a boy Al. Yeah. Anyway, because in the cartoons, all the long eyelashes are the girl ones. Anyway, so he's up there sometimes, but not, because we had a screech owl in our attic. And there's not really a mess up there, and he hasn't destroyed anything. So I'm feeling like I'm okay with that, but I don't want anything else to get in.
Still too wintry. Wait till it gets warmer.
Yeah, because you have to bring like an owl wildlife person.
So odd.
And then, you know, and then we have to have somebody get on the roof, and it's like been way too cold for that and kind of dangerous. So we're like,
How do we deal with nature?
I know. Like, I'm just like okay at keeping it. And my husband and all the wildlife rehabber people and all, they think I'm nuts, but it's okay. It's all right. That's the Outlaw update. Today in stupidity that I just robbed you of.
Well, we won't be able to play the audio, but Biden Do you want to play it? Can you play it? All right, go play it right now. Play it.
Costs are still too high, but inflation continues to fall. And what? Mortgage rates are falling, and they're going to fall more.
No, that's false. Expect rates to actually go
higher. Brought to you by Insure and Internet Explorer.
Government spending has not stopped.
So it hasn't yet.
Interest rates will rise.
Yay, yeah, because that's how that works. Folks, that does it for us today. Have a great rest of your day. I'll be back with you tomorrow. God bless.